Seated, and Dan is going to come and bring us a reading from Daniel. Thank you, Dan.
Hello. Today's reading is from Daniel chapter 4, starting at verse 18, which can be found on page 889 of the Church Bibles. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me. But you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the wild animals, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds. Your majesty, you are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. Your majesty saw a holy one, a messenger, coming down from heaven and saying, Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field, while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the wild animals until seven times pass by for him. This is the interpretation, Your Majesty, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, Your Majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence, by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. It's quite a long chapter, so we'll just pick at a few bits as we go through. There's something we love about autobiographies. What I mean by that is someone telling us about their own experiences. So you get books, don't you? Hundreds of them. You can pick them up from the bookstop shop. You can read about someone's life as told by them. And there's something that is particularly fascinating about that, isn't it? You get to hear it from their own perspective. It's not someone saying these things happened, but them saying these things happened to me. And this is what I think about those things and what impact that had on me. I was reading a footballer's autobiography this week, and he was actually just down the road from here. And he was trying to convince the readers, you know, of that life back when the Premier League wasn't with loads of money, that it was better because they had these kind of this real camaraderie, and it wasn't really about the money; it was about the football. I was reading that. Actually, he came up to Grays and he managed a team up here as well. But we love that, don't we? We love hearing from the person themselves. Maybe someone who, in their former life, has had stardom or success. And they're reflecting back on that nostalgically, and they're saying, this is what happened, and this is what it meant for me. And well, that's what we have here in chapter 4 of Daniel. Up until this point in Daniel, we've been hearing a lot about Nebuchadnezzar, about what he's been doing, what he's been saying. But now we actually get to hear from Nebuchadnezzar himself. It's like he sits us down for a chat. Look at verse 1 with me. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar, that's me, to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world. It's my pleasure, verse 2, to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. We actually get to hear from Nebuchadnezzar himself. And we get to ask him, you know, what did you think of yourself before Nebuchadnezzar? What happened? And how did that change you? So it is quite interesting. I hope you're interested in what the Bible is going to say to us today. Our first point then, if you wanted a three-word summary of what Nebuchadnezzar is going to say, it's always good to get a three-word summary, isn't it? His three-word summary would be this. It's on the screen, I think. Is there a slide coming up? God humbled me. Three words. God humbled me. If you want the six-word one, that slightly longer version, I was proud. God humbled me. That's what he's going to tell us through his story today and through his account. If you look with me in verses 20 to 21, Nebuchadnezzar, what did he see in the night? He saw a tree which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air. Nebuchadnezzar saw a tree in his vision, in his dream, in the middle of the night. It troubled him. And it even troubled Daniel, Belteshazzar, who is sent to give the interpretation for that dream. They're both afraid, terrified by what they saw. But why? Well, because the tree gets cut down in its prime. It gets absolutely felled. It gets tipped over. And actually, the command for that to happen comes from heaven. Doesn't come from anyone else. It's not like the tree up in the Lake District, or, you know, that gets chopped down by someone who doesn't, you know, just wants to make a statement. The command comes from heaven. And that's why it's scary, isn't it? Chop down the tree. Cut down the tree in verse 23. That's the command. You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until seven times pass by for him. Then you get the interpretation. Daniel comes in. What is the interpretation? Verse 22. You, O king, are the tree. You, O king, are the tree. No wonder Daniel was so agonized by what he saw. He actually was quite worried for Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't gloat over him and say, ha, 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 you've got it in the neck, finally. He was actually like, I wish this would happen to your enemies. And he says, you are the tree. So the interpretation of the vision is, this is going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was proud. He was going on his life quite happily, successful. And God said, in your prime, it's all going to come down. And I am going to humble you. That's what God is saying here. And even after giving the interpretation, Daniel goes on to give Nebuchadnezzar some advice. He says, verse 27, therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. However, that was not to be. God did give Nebuchadnezzar 12 more months, but we read what happened during those 12 months. Nebuchadnezzar didn't use that time to repent or to turn from his sin and turn to God. We meet him again on the roof of his palace 12 months later, verse 29. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace in Babylon, he said, is this not great Babylon I have built as my royal residence, by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? 12 months, he hadn't changed one bit. Still proudly making that boast, wasn't he? You could take each part of this sentence And you could use it as, it's a textbook description of pride. Let's take it bit by bit. Is not this the great Babylon? I have built by my power. Or you could summarize that as, this has all come about by my effort. What about the next bit? As a royal residence, oh, this is all for me to enjoy. What about the next bit? And for the glory of my majesty, this is a testimony to how great I am. So we can simplify that even more. We could say, this was all down to me, this is all for me, and this is for all to see. Now, this is where I get personal with you, because audible boasts, you're probably not the kind of people to stand in front of the mirror and sort of puff your chest and say, you're great, you're really good, you're amazing. We don't do that, do we? We're British. You know, we don't make those brow boasts. I didn't come in here and saying, oh, I'm an amazing footballer, or that would be a lie. We don't do our audible boasts, do we? But actually, we do these inwardly. We might not make them audibly so that everyone can hear them, because we want to be seen as being humble. But we do them inwardly, don't we? This, my life, is all down to me. It's all for me, whatever I have, and it's for all to see how good I am. And we may not have the whole of Babylon to boast in, but we do have our lives. And my guess is that you're just like me. I want people to see my life, and I want people to think well of me. I want you to think well of me. And yet that is glory stealing. The glory should be going to God for everything that he has done in making us, in all that he has given us. Nebuchadnezzar was proud. He did have quite a lot to boast in. Let's have a look. And this is what you can still see of Babylon today. Some of it is still standing many, many years later. Keep going. You see the scale of it, the size of it is huge. And the city walls and everything like that. It was just, he was a very, very good master builder. And he could come up with all these things. Just in the top bit there, it says Ister Gate. You don't have to worry about that. But the next slide is one of the gates that you could have processed in on a day where they had the carnival. And they just brought everyone in, processed everyone in to Babylon. And that's, you can actually go see it. That's the scale of it and the beauty of it. The enamel on brick and the decoration on there. Still bright many years later. Nebuchadnezzar had a lot to boast in, didn't he? And yet he saw it as all being for him and for his glory. And so at the moment where that thought is on his lips, God's word is fulfilled. He is humbled. God humbles him. That's the next part. I was proud. God humbled me, and it was for my good. Let's have a look at that together. God humbled me for my good. Well, the humbling of Nebuchadnezzar was for his own good. Just think what it would have been like for him to meet God at his current state, making those boasts, thinking he was the center of the universe. What an awful shock that would have been. Let's have a look what happens. The words were still on his lips, verse 31. When a voice came from heaven, this is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken away from you. You will be driven away from people and will live like the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Nebuchadnezzar was going to lose it all. And actually, the state that you find him in is this. This is a painting by William Blake. You don't really need to know who he is, but this painting is called The Humbling of Nebuchadnezzar. And it pictures him, hands and knees, eating the grass. If Nebuchadnezzar had pride in his mind, sharpness of mind, his imagination, well, he was going to have to experience what it's like to lose his mind. And if Nebuchadnezzar had pride in his ability to provide for himself, well, God was going to show him that he was dependent on him, even for a bit of grass that grew up and the dew that was going to come overnight. Nebuchadnezzar was going to be utterly humbled by God. to see that he is absolutely dependent on God for everything. And that's what God does, isn't it? To the most powerful man at that time, the man who no one else could touch, God humbles him. But it was for his own good. It was so that he would come to his senses, so that God would show him that he is the God of heaven. And that's what it says. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. That's what God wants Nebuchadnezzar to know. And this is the way he's going to show it to him. So, six word summary. I was proud. God humbled me. It was for my good, but that's not the last thing in this passage. It was for God's glory. And that's the last thing. And this is where we get to the last part of verse 34 onwards. And let me just find where I'm getting to. For his glory. At the end of it all, Nebuchadnezzar is saying this. Look down with me at verse 34. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors, nobles, sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. That's amazing, isn't he? He picks the person who is most prominent in that kingdom. You know, everyone heard about this. Nebuchadnezzar was well known to everyone. And he was the one who had most to boast in. And yet God chooses that one and he humbles him so that he would receive the glory. God's concern is for his glory. And that's because his glory is the truth. He is glorious. It's the reality. We're the ones who are deceived. We're the ones who are thinking otherwise. His glory is the reality. And God humbles him so that he would receive the glory. There's a guy who is well known by everyone, and he gets the glory from him. We have to see, don't we, with Nebuchadnezzar, that it's God's intervening. No one could say, "Oh, this has come about because Nebuchadnezzar suddenly had a change of heart." No, that wouldn't happen. This had to be God, and so God does get the glory. In the New Testament, God chooses to save someone else like that. His name was Saul, and he was well known for his pursuit of Christians and for putting them to death. And this man God chooses and takes and causes to declare his praises. So what do we learn from this then? Well, God is the God, right at the very end, those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. That's the God of the Bible. That's what we've seen in this chapter. This is a God, those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. And he can do that one of two ways. He can do that in this life, or he can do that in the next. And what we see in the next king, Belshazzar, is God doing that in judgment. But here we get to see him humbling Nebuchadnezzar in mercy. And it's for his good. God can do that. So what does that mean for you and for me? Well, going back to what we were talking about at the start, it's so easy, isn't it, to say, this is my doing. My life is all about what I've achieved. And I want other people to see that. And yet that is the most proud thing in the world, because we have nothing. Everything we have comes from God. And to claim even just a little bit of that for ourselves is arrogant and it's offensive. And so God needs to humble us. How does God do that? He does that through the gospel. He does that through the message about a saviour, one who has to die because we're so sinful. That's a humbling thing to accept, isn't it? He has to humble us to accept that. It offends us at first, doesn't it? The fact that we're that bad and that we need a rescue. But he will do that. And so we can ask him to do that. And painful as it is, that whole process of hearing the gospel and being offended by it and going away and thinking about it and realizing it applies to you, as painful as that is, we're just like Nebuchadnezzar. If God hadn't done the painful thing for Nebuchadnezzar in this life, it would have been far worse in eternity. And so God is, see the gospel as God's kindness to you, because that humbling of you is it may be painful, but it's far less worse than what we would have to face, facing God's judgment, being unprepared for that. We can ask him to help us to view ourselves only and ever in relation to him as God, and we can ask him to do that. If you have had that happen to you, if God has done that work in your life and has helped you to come to see that, our simple job is to tell others. And we can have that same three-word testimony, or the six-word testimony. I was proud, God humbled me. We can go out and we can say, look, you don't know me, I don't know you too well, but let me tell you, I was proud in what I thought towards God. God humbled me, and this is how he humbled me. So let that be an encouragement to you. You can share your testimony. You can say, God did this for me. And in many ways, I'm sure around the room, there's many ways that God has been humbling us to see our need of Jesus. So let's pray. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much that you are the one who can humble those who walk in pride. We were walking in pride. I am far from you, thinking ourselves to be the center of the universe, and with no regard for you. And yet how wrong we were. It's completely the other way around. All things come from your hand. You are the mighty God. You are King of heaven. No one can hold back your hand or say to you, what have you done? So we pray even now you'd be humbling us to who you are, and helping us to see how wonderful it is that you would humble us in this life through your gospel, so that we wouldn't be humbled by your judgment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.